Hello, and welcome to Mean on Azure. My name is Daniel Egan. In this series, we're going to take you step by step through the Mean stack so you understand it from front to back. We're going to show you how to implement the stack on Azure, whether you're simply sending up a Node.js server into a web app, or you want to take MongoDB and shard it across multiple servers, across multiple regions. We're going to cover the whole spectrum of that. We're going to start from a beginner's stage and slowly take you to advanced. We're going to do it in bite-sized videos. So each video will be self-contained in a subject. So you want to learn about replica sets. You want to learn about sharding. You want to learn about different parts of Angular. We're going to do that in small little bite-sized videos. So the things you want to learn, you can go right to and learn them. In addition, if there's things that maybe we didn't cover that you want us to cover, feel free to leave a comment and let us know what you want covered, and we'll put it in a video for you. So sit back, relax, and I hope you enjoy the series, Mean on Azure. Okay, let's get started. What exactly is the Mean stack? As stated earlier, Mean stands for MongoDB, which is a NoSQL database, Express.js, which is a web application framework. You can think of it as maybe the pipes of an application. AngularJS, which is also a web application framework, but it's for the front end. It's an open source collaboration with Google and the community to allow people to very easily do one-page applications. It can do more than that, but traditionally it's for a nice one-page web application. And then finally in the back end is Node.js. Node.js is like a web server, but it's much more than that. And at the same time, much less than that. It's a very nice, clean implementation built with C++. And we will cover each one of these pieces individually. We're going to start, though, in the series with MongoDB. And one of the reasons we're going to start with MongoDB is the term Mean Stack was actually coined by this gentleman. His name is Valery Karpov. He's a tools engineer for MongoDB. He was having a discussion with one of his friends about hackathons and about what type of tools you can use at hackathons to really rapidly prototype an application. And he talked about how he and his team affectionately called the group of technologies we were talking about the Mean Stack. So I thought it was only appropriate to start with MongoDB in this series. Now, before we even get started with that, one of the things we have to do is get our dev environment fired up. Now, sometimes this could be a little tricky, and you'll run across different things when you're getting your environment set up. So we're going to spend the time to show you how to set up your environment for a Mac and for a PC. Now, let's get started.
Okay, getting started. The first thing we need to do is take a look at the things we need to install in order to develop for the Mean Stack. And since this is Mean on Azure, you will need an Azure account to do some of the stuff we're going to be covering. Now, there's a lot of great content out there and some great video tutorials on how you can sign up for Azure, but I'll briefly cover three different ways. First, you can sign up for a free trial on Microsoft Azure. The second way is if you're a student, you can sign up through DreamSpark. DreamSpark allows students to utilize their software, utilize their cloud, and as long as you're a student, you can sign up at DreamSpark.com. And then finally, BizSpark. So BizSpark is for entrepreneurs. So if you are a startup, if you want to be a startup, if you have an idea for a startup application, this program's for you. Now, there's different levels. All the way from the base level is $150 a month of cloud usage and, you know, all our software, up to a bigger one that goes up to right now about $120,000 over the year. And so wherever you fit in, you can join BizSpark, and that will give you the cloud usage you need. If you need help joining any of those programs and have questions on it, please feel free to contact us, and we'd be happy to help you out. Okay, so after that, you'll notice there's a list of things, and they're pretty much similar for whether you're on a PC or a Mac. The one thing that is different, you'll see, is the Visual Studio build tools, and we'll cover that when we get to that page. Now, what I've decided to do is do them both at the same time. I can only record on one, but I'm going to talk about both at the same time. And to do that, you'll notice that most of the commands that I run will be the same. But there are times when the command you run is going to be a little different on a Mac as opposed to a PC. So you'll see the commands that I utilize for a PC will be in blue. And this will be whether you're using a PowerShell or a DOS window, a command window. It'll be the ones in blue that you see. If you're using a Mac, you'll use and see the one in white. Now, like I said, a lot of the commands are the same. So if you see gray, that means it's the same for a PC or a Mac. Now, I will use the word terminal for everything. So on a Mac, you'd use the terminal to run these commands. On a PC, you use the command exe, or you use PowerShell. So you should have PowerShell already installed, and I suggest if you are on a Mac that you use, I'm sorry, if you're on a PC, that you use PowerShell. PowerShell should come pre-installed, or you can download it. And there's a couple reasons I prefer PowerShell beyond the awesome power that we're not going to get into on PowerShell. There's two things over the command window. And when I say command window, I'm just talking CMD command prompt. So you can use either of these. You can see that I've changed my color to blue. But one of the reasons I like PowerShell is you can see if I arrow up and down in the command window, nothing happens because it was closed before. But if I arrow up and down in PowerShell, it will keep, I think I have it set up to 65 commands from a previous use. You will find that very useful as you're working with this mean stack utilizing PowerShell. So that being said, let me close that down. I might use the term terminal. And when I use the term terminal, that means the same thing. You know, I could be talking about the terminal in on a Mac, or I could be talking about the command exe or PowerShell on Windows. So if I say terminal, it means the same thing for all three. Okay. So for Windows, as you're installing some of this stuff, you might get some firewall warnings, and you want to allow access on these. You will need to allow these in order for parts of the stack to work. So as those come up, make sure you're saying allow access. If you want to dive deeper into the access it's taking, what it's doing, we're not going to cover that here. You can feel free to research that on your own time. All right. The first thing you need to install is Python. And Python you can get at python.org. Which you can see here. And you see that they have both the current Python 3.5.0 and 2.7.10. You want to download the 2.7.10. And even if you have a current Python in your system, you can download and install a previous version of Python, and they will run side by side. That's not a problem at all. The reason you need Python is because Node.js is built using JIP, and it basically utilizes it for cross-platform build tool, and that utilizes Python. So the first thing you want to do is download and install Python. So if I run this right now, okay, so the first thing I want to do is install for all users. It's you want to note that it's going to be installing it in C, Python 2.7. Go ahead and do next. You can just accept all the defaults here. We're not doing, at least in this course, Python development. So the one thing you will want to do here, though, is choose this feature. You can do this manually at the end, or you can have it do it. You want to be able to access Python from anywhere, just not in the directory where the exe is installed. And so it's important to have that to path. We're going to be doing that with most of the stuff we are working with today. Some, like I said, we'll do manually. Let me do next. Let that install. And I'm going to move that over. You understand a install. We'll let that finish and go on to the next part. So For this one, I'm not going to show you how to install it. For just like we need Python for some build tools, when you're working on Windows, you need the C++ build tools. Now, if you have Visual Studio 2013 or Visual Studio Professional installed on your system, you should have the C++ build tools. If you have installed Visual Studio Community Edition, then by default, the C++ build tools are not installed. So you can install them using this aka link, aka.ms/msbuild2013, and that will install the build tools by itself. You could also go in and do a repair for Visual Studio 2015 and add the C++ tools and anything else you want when you're doing it. You will need this when we are doing different stuff with Node. And if you have multiple versions, like a lot of you have, you can also tell exactly what version you want the tools to use when you're installing stuff. So next you'll want to install Node.js. And it's very simple. Go to nodejs.org. And this will automatically recognize what version of operating system you are on. And it will suggest the download for you. So obviously for mine, it's Windows 64. Yours will be different. You can obviously go to other downloads if you want when you want to install it. So I've already downloaded it. So let's go ahead and install it. And we'll just walk through the wizard. Let's do next, accept, next. You can see again where it's going to install Node.js. You want to make a note of that. Once again, you want to be able to add it to your path for both Node.js and NPM. That is already configured for this one, so it should add this to your path. Do next. You notice it's also going to install NPM. NPM is Node Package Manager, and you will use this all the time. Once we get to start building stuff on the full stack, you'll see the real power of Node Package Manager. For now, we'll just let it install and we'll work with it later. Go ahead and click Install, and that will set everything up for you. And again, I'm going to move this over and let that install. You know what a setup thing looks like. And we're going to move on to the next slide. So one of the things you will run into quite often when working with the MeanStack is versioning. Versioning, since these are all separate products, all the things that we're working with, not just the MeanStack itself, the Mongo, the Angular Express, and Node, but also the different modules we'll be bringing in. They all have different versions, and sometimes some modules only work with a specific version. You can see we just set up Node version 4.2 something. But a lot of times, you're going to either upgrade or downgrade that version to one of the more common ones is the 0.12.4.7. Especially if you're doing a lot of IoT stuff that uses Node, the 0.12.4 is one that's used quite a bit. And so there's two ways to get it. So you want to install Node Version Manager, NVM. So NVM is, there's two different ways to install it. First, if you want to install it on Windows, it will be called, when you utilize it on the command line, Node Version Manager, but they're two different products, and let me show you what I mean. So you can see that to install on a Mac, it's really easy. Just open up the terminal and type in that curl command that you see there. I tried to actually shorten it for you, but I don't think the bit.ly shortening of a curl command is working too well. So you'll have to put in the curl command that you see up top in red. And what that is pointing to is this GitHub repository. So This NVM manager will work with Mac, and it'll install the version for you. You can see that it does not work on Windows, so the one I suggest, the one that I use, is called NVM for Windows. And again, you can see that GitHub link here on my slide. And what you're going to want to do for Windows is scroll down until you see this Download Now link. And then in the Download Now link, you can click and download the NVM setup.zip. Now, I have already downloaded that, as you can see, and I've unzipped it as well. I'm going to go into that folder and run it. And you want to accept the agreement. You want to notice where it is, again, being installed. Click Next. And you can see right here, it's going to add to our system path as well. And go ahead and do install. And you can see that it's notating that I already have a version of Node installed on my system because we downloaded and installed that. It said, do you want Node version manager to control this version? And you'll want to say yes here. And I'm going to say yes. This is because I've been playing on the system. Again, I have 4.2.2 installed as well. We just did that, and I want Node version manager to be able to manage that. And then I'll do finish. Now at this point, I want to check on a couple things. So I'm going to open up my terminal, in this case PowerShell. Now the thing about PowerShell terminals, command windows, is if you're changing stuff and installing stuff and adding stuff to the path, whenever you add stuff, you want to close down the terminal and reopen it so that it can read the path. Otherwise, it doesn't know it's in the path, and it will look like you don't have it installed correctly. So if you had PowerShell opened already, at this point, make sure you close down PowerShell, close down the command window, or close down terminal, and reopen it so we can test things. So the first thing I want to do is just see that the things we've installed already are installed globally. And the way I check that is just by checking the version. So you can see that I'm just in my C users Daniel folder. So none of the executables that I'm going to call right now are in that folder. So if I've installed them globally correctly, meaning that the path, where they're at is added to my path, I should be able to call that version right now. So let's first check Python --version. And gives me back the version of Python. We installed Node as well. You can see I'm at version 4.2.2. And then I'll do npm, Node Package Manager version. That's 2.14.7. And then finally, Node Version Manager. And you can see Node Version Manager gives me a lot more information. Not only tells me what version of Node Version Manager I'm running, but also gives me hints on what I can do. So you saw that I had two different versions of Node on my system. And again, Node Version Manager just makes it really easy to swap the default. So if I just do NVM list, you can see it'll give me a list of the ones that I currently have and the one that is currently the default. If I want to use a different one, for example, the 0.12.2, I can do that. Let's see, NVM use 0.12.2. Let's see here. I'm not sure why it doesn't see it, but since we're not using that version right now, we won't try to troubleshoot it. I'll actually move on to the next part. And if we run across this again in a version that we need, I can always, you know, install it. So let's actually just do that. NVM install And we'll do 0.12.2. And now what this is doing is it's going out to Node and throwing us an error. And what that is telling me is it's having a problem creating that. And the reason, if I navigate to that, is because you can see that it actually already exists. So there's some kind of problem going on in my system. I could blow this away and just start over. I don't really have a use for version 0.12.2, but I do have one for at a later time. Let's do install 12.7. Actually, 12.4. I know I need that for a different project. So let's go ahead and install that. You see that it's going to download it, install it. And then if I wanted to make that my default, we will just do that use command. Again, this makes it so simple for you to move back and forth between versions. You can see that just completed. And it says if I want to use it, I could just type in use 0.12.4 and I could use it. But we're going to move on at this point. I'm going to close PowerShell. The next thing we want to install is our MongoDB. Now, there's a couple different ways to install MongoDB. They do actually make it really simple. You can download the code itself and just drop it in a folder and run it. But, you know, on Windows, there is a installer, an MSI installer. And so we're going to go ahead and do that. All you need to do is when you get to the website, just click on download MSI. And we can go ahead and run that MSI. I'm going to go ahead and do next. And this is because I already have it installed. Let me actually uninstall it and show you what the install process is. Okay, let's run that again. Go ahead and do next. Accept the terms and conditions. Do next. And do custom. One of the reasons I do custom is I like to actually do mine just under C and MongoDB. That's where I like to set it. I'm going to do next. And install. And yes. And then go ahead and do finish. Now, one thing we need to do before we move on is for MongoDB, it needs to know where the data directory is. So for the data directory on Windows, you would just create a directory under C data DB. That's where it's going to expect it to be. If you want your database stored somewhere different, when we get to that point, and when we run MongoD, which is the MongoDB service, you can actually tell it where you want the DB path to be. You can see that I set the switch DB path equal to C projects hack app data. But if you don't do that, you'll want to make sure that you have the default one. And it'll throw an error and says it when you try to run it that there's not a data directory found. And it's, again, very simple to do. Now, if you're on a Mac, it's actually very simple. If you want to set up Mongo on a Mac, first, if you do not have Homebrew installed, you want to install Homebrew, which is HTTP brew.sh. And if you already have Brew installed, you want to make sure you have the most updated version of Brew. You can see the command to run in your terminal to install Brew is that long one starting with ruby-e up on that top line there. You'll want to run that to install Homebrew. Once you have it installed, or if you already have it installed, it's as simple as going in the terminal and typing brew install MongoDB. And then, of course, just like in Windows, you want to create the data directory. And we're going to do sudo mkdir-p and do a data DB. You notice the word sudo. Sudo means admin, so you have to give it admin rights to do this. When you actually give it admin rights, the extra step is going to ask you to put it in your username and password. And that username and password is the username that is admin on the machine you're installing it on. But other than that, that sounded like a lot of steps, but it was quite simple. Now the final piece to our puzzle is getting Git. So you saw we went to a couple Git repositories earlier, but we actually didn't utilize Git to do that. And we're not going to cover Git in this course. There's tons of great courses on Git. I can put some in the notes for you if you are not familiar with Git. But part of what we're going to do in Mean on Azure is show you how to do continuous delivery of your applications, of your Mean app, by utilizing Git locally, by showing you how to connect to either GitHub or Git Bitbucket for your repository, and then how utilizing Azure you can automatically upload new versions of your site automatically whenever you change the GitHub repository. Azure will suck that up. So we're going to be using Git for quite a few things. So you can install Git at the links you see on the top there. Obviously, there's one for Windows, and there's one for Mac, and it's a very simple install. But I'm going to walk you through it because I want to show you answers to some of the questions. So when you run the installer, you're going to just do Next. Accept the license, of course. We want to leave these on the default unless, obviously, you want to add these to your desktop or quick launch or whatever. You can do that if you want. The things I want to talk about is here. So as we stated and showed you before, you want stuff in your path so you can utilize it anywhere on your machine. By default, this is going to be selected by default, and it allows you to use Git from the bash only. It will not modify your path. You want your path modified. Unless for whatever reason you don't, you can choose to install it that way, but you'll want to use the second one. Use Git from the Windows command prompt. This will allow you to automatically add Git to your path. Next, just leave this as the default line commits. You might want to, when you're working on a team, modify these somewhat, depending on whether you have a mixed team that have maybe Unix and some have Windows, etc. That's what this is referring to. And so if you're working on a team, you'll have to collaborate and figure out which is best for you guys here. For this selection, you want to choose Use Windows Default Console Window. Leave that unchecked, and then it'll install Git for you. Okay, and go ahead and uncheck that and do Finish. And so just like we did before, we want to check to make sure everything's installed correctly. I'm going to open up my terminal, in this case PowerShell. And I want to do node dash dash version. It shows me 422, so that's good. Again, the path variable is set correctly. And then I want to do git dash dash version. And I can see I'll be able to access all my git commands, node commands, and everything else from whatever directory I'm at, obviously usually my project directory. And so we have everything set up correctly. If you did not get it set up correctly, you will want to check and modify your path variables. The way you get to it on Windows is you want to do Control Panel, System and Security, System, Advanced Systems, blah, blah, blah. Or you can just type in Path and select Edit Environment Variables for your account. Either way, we'll get you there. And go ahead and when you get there, you click Environment Variables. And you're going to like this. So you see my screen print is what you normally see, your path. And it's kind of hard to read, kind of hard to edit. Every time you need to add something to your path, you want to separate it with a semicolon. But I'm not sure if this came from a update to Windows 10 or not, but now if I click on edit, there's a nice environment variables table they can add. This is nice and clean and easy to see. And you can see that I have Mongo in here. You can see that I have Python in here, although I have it a couple times because I uninstalled and reinstalled on this system. For purposes of this video, you can see the Git one is here. So all of the stuff that I needed is installed here. So if for whatever reason you missed the step where you installed it and add it to the path, you want to go ahead and add it yourself, and you just would do new, and then, you know, whatever path you needed to add, C colon, you know, whatever, wherever it's installed. So you can add it to your path if you're on a Mac as well. So adding Git to your path on the Mac is two different things. With the Git download, you can run the setup Git path for non-terminal programs.sh that actually comes with the package. Otherwise, you can just edit your bash file. You can see what it is, what's in your path by just doing echo $path, and just look to make sure that it's in there. If not, you can modify that. There's a file under etc. and path that you can add any paths to. So that's how you do it on a Mac. Finally, you will need a text editor to work with. So there's many different text editors out there. Microsoft has one called Code. And Code is honestly a fantastic editor. It allows you to do some really cool stuff that maybe some of the other editors do not have. Debugging is an amazing experience inside of Code. But in these videos, I'll be using both Code and Sublime to kind of show you the difference. And because I understand that a lot of people using the mean stack are doing it using Sublime. You know, one of the things that Sublime maybe had over Visual over Code before just a couple days ago is an extensions library where people add extensions to further create things inside the editor itself to give you coloring or linting or anything like that. Well, Code has that now too. It was just announced 2 days ago at the Connect conference. So make sure you download one of these two tools and have that ready for when we start actually building sites. As you can see, the layout will be very similar. So whether I'm using Code and you're using Sublime or vice versa, you'll be able to follow along with either of these two tools. So that is it for this video of getting you set up. Hopefully you were able to set everything up correctly. You were able to, from your terminal, run all those commands for the versions that I showed you and have that running fine. If you have any problems at all, please leave them in the comments, and I'll be happy to work you through that. Starting in the next video, we'll start building something. Hope you enjoyed.